Okay, so now we are holding on Kuf Mem Aleph Omid Beis, about a little bit past the middle of the Omid, lining the Yerusha HaBaal Me'elah. Okay, so we started discussing yesterday. Now, our Mishnah had said that a person says that if my wife gives birth to a boy, then he gets a mana, a girl should get two, should get 200 zuz. Now, so we said at the beginning of the sugya, we said that Rav Huna said that if a person says to his wife, I want my nechasim to go to the baby that you're carrying, Rav Huna says that doesn't work because he's an Uber, and an Uber is not able to be toyed. So we asked, what about sort of Nachman asked him, what about our Mishnah? And Rav Huna tells him, I don't know who taught our Mishnah. I don't know of any Tana who holds like what it says in our Mishnah. So it can't possibly be correct. So we started going through a couple of possibilities. We said maybe the Mishnah could be like a mayor. No, because even a mayor says that you can be makna, but you can't be makna to somebody who's not ba'olam yet. The Uber is not considered ba'olam. Should we say maybe it's appointed a Yosi by the dinim of Truma, of a Bas Koyin, or a Bas Yisrael married to a Koyin, rather, when she and the Avodim can't eat Truma when she's pregnant? No, because Rabbi Yosi is saying, fine, that the Uber is able to Yashin, something which comes me'atnoi, but not something where somebody else is going to be machna to him. To be machna to him, he has to exist, and the Uber doesn't exist yet as an independent being. Okay, so that's where we're holding. So, the lame later, Rabbi Yechim and Breki. Fine, why doesn't Rav Huna say that our Mishnah can go like Rabbi Yechim and Breki? Doma loishna Yerusha v'loishna Matana. Where Rabbi Yechim and Breki said that there's no difference between Yerusha or Matana, that either way you are able to override the dinim of Yerusha, as we talked about in the previous Perek. And we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yechim and Breki, I mean, Omar Misha Roy Yerusha Dvar of Kayomen. Rabbi Yechim and Breki says that if you said about somebody who is Roy to Yashin you, then you said, well, one second. We said over there, for example, let's say a person has a bunch of sons, and he picks one of them and says, I want this one to Yashin me. We said, Dvar of Kayomen, that works. We are assuming that when he uses the expression, Misha Roy Yerusha, doesn't mean somebody who right now can yashin him, because then the expression wouldn't be roi liyoshin. Of course, it's an existing children. Roi sounds like it means somebody who in the future is capable of yashin him, but currently is not. What would that be? An over. So there you see, on the face of it, that Rabbi Yechim and Berka says, you're able to be machna to an over. Okay, we thought that roi liyoshin means that. By the way, the Tosfos points out, the Rabbanan disagree with Rav Yechim and Breki, as we learned in the previous parak. Even they agree that if you say a Loshen Matana, that it works. Even they agree that you can say a Loshen, that I want to give this to my son or my daughter or whatever as a Matana, and it works. The point isn't that it was why are we saying Dafka Rav Yechim and Breki, if we're talking about, Rav Yechim and Breki uses the word Roy Liyosha, fine, but the Chachamim agree by the same logic that you can give a Matana to Roy Liyosha. So the answer is exactly that. Because Rav Yechim and Breki uses the word roi liyoshei, even without the word matana, that implies he must be talking about somebody who's capable of yashin him. Namely, in other words, but again, we're assuming that it means even somebody who maybe is not able to yashin him now because he's an uber, but eventually will be once he's born. The answer is no, that's not what Rav Yechim and Breki means. Emer to shamatay that Rav Yechim and Breki l'davash yesh nabaylam. Still, we only hear that Rav Yechim and Breki says that means somebody who actually exists in the world. So one child, one son among all his sons, for example. L'davash yesh nabaylam mi'amar. Who says, again, that Rav Yechim and Breki would say such a thing about an unborn baby? No, Al-Misha Roy L'yosha does not mean somebody who in the future is going to be able to yashin him, but he can't now because he's not born yet. No, it means somebody who actually right now is available and will be able to yashin him as soon as he dies. The only reason he's roy and isn't actually yashin him yet is because his father was still alive. Okay. So the question is, fine, let Rav Huna say that our Mishnah is like Rav Yechim and Breka. However, let's say that Rav Yechim and Breka agrees with Rav Yossi that we said yesterday that an Uber is able to have a certain ownership of the Yerusha. We said he has a certain ownership of the Avodim, for example, and therefore they can't eat Truma. So if we combine together Rav Yechim and Breka's opinion that you can be Mizaka to one out of your children, and we combine that with Rav Yossi's Shitta, that says that an Uber is able to be Yerush, something that when the Yerusha comes to him automatically, if you combine those two, then you have the opinion of our Mishnah.
Yeah.
The answer is you can't say that, because me Yehuda Savala. Who says Rav Yechim and Breka agrees with Rav Yossi on that? So therefore, you can't, Rav Huna can't say that all Mishnah goes like a combination of them without having some kind of proof that they agree with each other, which they don't. Okay. Well, we don't know that they do. So without that, we don't know that they do. And therefore, Rav Huna is justified so far in saying that I can't shtel what I am like either of them. Fine, let's go on. Why doesn't Rav Huna say, fine, okay, so let's say as far as the actual din that Rav Huna is saying you can't be mezaka to an Uber, fine. But instead of saying Mishnah Seinu, any Adam Mishnah, I don't know who taught our Mishnah. In other words, you have to ignore our Mishnah because it doesn't apparently represent any known opinion of a Tana. Why not say our Mishnah is b'chalal not relevant because the Mishnah is talking about the case of Mastereni that we talked about yesterday, that instead of you're not saying that I'm going to give a mona or 200 to the boy or the girl themselves, you're saying what I'm going to give to the person, the Mavaser, the one who comes to me first with the news that my wife had a boy or a girl.
That's the case.
When the Mishnah used the expression, the Mishnah used the expression, Ha'omer and Talit Ishti Zachar Yito Mona. The expression is, if my wife gives birth, Yolda Ishti Zachar, really it's supposed to be, if my wife will have given birth to a boy, Yito Mona, he gets a Mona, who's the he? Does it mean the baby or does it mean the Mavasa? So why doesn't Rav Huna understand the Mishnah that way? And then that way he doesn't have a problem. Fine, but you could still say the point is, in other words, like, no, because you could say, like the Rashbam said in the Mishnah, the point of if he didn't mention the case of a boy and a girl, it means that if the Mavasa comes and tells him twins, then the Mavasa doesn't get anything, as you discussed yesterday. So it could be that. The answer is, Ihochi, the Katani Sefer, fine, but then what about the Mishnah continues? Vim Ensham Yerush Elohu Yerush Hakol. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah continues, that if a Tumtum was born, then he doesn't get anything, it's neither a Zachar nor a Kefa. And but we said if he's the only Yerush, if the Tumtum winds up being the only Yerush, he does in fact inherit everything. If we're talking about the Mavasa, then why are we all of a sudden flipping over and talking about who Yarshins him? Those are two completely separate things. Another way, the Rashbam seems to understand the question slightly differently. The Mavaster himself is not the Yerush, so you can't say an Incham Yerush Elohu if the only Yerush is him. Who? The only Yerush is going to be the Mavaster? That doesn't fit. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, Rav Huna can't understand the mission of that. Fine. How about the Lame Malay Bishayolda? Fine. Why doesn't Rav Huna say that the Mishnah is talking about, not that he's saying while the baby is in the womb, I'm mezaka to him a mono or 200 as the case may be. Why not say that he's saying when the baby is born, then when the baby is, that he says after the baby is born, he says, okay, so now I'm going to give 100 to my son or 200 to my daughter. There's no Uber involved over here. Again, the question isn't, the question isn't why Rav Huna is saying his din, I'm a Zakar Uber Lakana. But why is he saying, I don't understand who our Mishnah is like? He should say, our Mishnah is not even relevant to the case of a Zakar Uber. It's talking about after the baby's born. The answer is, Hachi, the Katani Sefer, fine, but you can't explain it that way because what are you going to do with the Sefer that said, V'imama kol masha teled ishti yito, hareza yito? The Mishnah had said that, if a tumtum is born, he doesn't get anything, neither the 100 nor the 200. But if he said, whatever my wife gives birth, then he should get, hareza yito, then he gets. Well, kol masha teled, what do you mean? That whatever she will give birth. Kol masha yaldim, that should have to say, whatever she did give birth. Obviously, then we have to be talking about that he's saying this before the baby is born. And so we're back to the issue that it must be a case of a mezaka to Uber. And therefore, Rav Huna is saying, I don't understand what Tana would say you can be mezaka to an Uber, and therefore I can't accept that our Mishnah is valid. The lame allege on the Lichsha Taylor. Fine, why don't we take yet another possibility? Let's say that the guy Taka is saying this before the baby is born. So therefore, the Mishnah can use the word Chetele. But what he means is, when I'm saying now, while she's pregnant, that later on, next month or whatever, when she gives birth, that if it's a boy at that point, I'm at that point he's going to get 100, or if it's a girl, she's going to get 200. So it's not mezaka over because you're saying that he's going to get the 100 or the 200 after they're born.
At the time they're born.
The answer is Rav Huna l'taimei. Yes, but Rav Huna goes according to his own shita. The Amar Rav Huna achlof shetelad loikata. No, as a matter of fact, Rav Huna says such a thing would not work. If you made the condition, if you said while she's pregnant, while you made the hakna, while you made the kinyan, or in the case of a shidmarah, there was no kinyan, there was just words or whatever, you said that this is going to take effect after the baby is born, no, still doesn't work. So therefore,
she
Ravuna
couldn't inquire. She say until she maybe his mulch could have.
If you say ask, if she herself, the mother, is not acquiring anything,
the baby.
Right. In other words, Ravuna is saying that if you actually said the thing after the baby was born, then sure, you can be mezakeh to a baby that was just born, but you can't do anything involving a baby before it was born. Therefore, even if you only said it, you said lishatela, then it'll be 100 or 200 respectively, and you're saying it should only actually take effect once the baby is born, doesn't work. So he can't understand the Mishnah that way either. To Amr of Nachman, as in fact we find such a machlokas. Rav Nachman says, "Hamazaka l'uba l'kana." It is true. Rav Nachman says, if you mazaka to an unborn baby, then the unborn baby can't be kana, as we said before. However, l'chatele kana. However, if you're going to say that you're mazaka as of when the baby is born, then you are kana. He's kind of when he's born. At the time he's born. But the reason is that Rashbam says like this. Unlike what we were saying before, we were assuming before so far in the sugya that the uber is completely considered as if he's loy bala ola, as if he doesn't exist yet. Rav Nachman doesn't agree with that premise. He says the baby to a certain extent is yeshne ba'olam. He does exist. He's still in the mother's womb. He's still uber yarech imayhu. Nevertheless, he does exist. As an unborn baby, then the chosim that you want to be makne him also exists. So therefore, however, it is true you can't be makne to an unborn baby. An uber is not able to be koine. However, you're able to say while he's an uber that these nechosim that exist now should go to this uber that exists now when he's born. That Rav Nachman says works.
Based on the fact that it's still the unborn baby
still exists to that extent. So that works. On the other hand, Rav Huna whereas Rav Huna says that not. So therefore, again, Rav Huna, going according to his own shitta, is not able to understand the Mishnah as talking about that he said something while she's pregnant, and we're talking about what's going to happen after the baby is born, because according to Rav Huna, that wouldn't work either. That is why Rav Huna is saying that Mishnah Seinu Eni Yodeh Mishnah. I don't know who taught our Mishnah. I don't know what Tana is, the authority of our Mishnah, because he can't find anybody who would agree with that concept that you're able to be mezakeh to an uber in any way. He doesn't agree with Rav Nachman.
He doesn't agree, but
Rav Nachman's an Amor. Rav Nachman's an Amor, yeah. So he's not obligated to accept Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman is saying, because Rav Nachman is saying, you can't be machna dava shalai bala olam, but over here the nechasim are bala olam, the uber to a certain degree is also bala olam, as we saw before, for example, Rav Yossi saying about an uber being able to be zosha in the Yerusha while he's in the womb. And therefore, that combination is enough. But look, Shatelim, once the baby is born, then Connor.
Can an Amara create such a there without a Tana being behind it?
He will explain. The Pashas, he will explain our Mishnah that way.
It's a Chiddush.
It's a Chiddush, but fine. An Amara is entitled to explain a Mishnah like that. Rav Huna, who doesn't agree with that din, says in that, I can't understand, I can't accept the Mishnah. Rav Huna is an Amora, but he's not obligated to accept Rav Nachman's opinion, and therefore he says, leaving aside Rav Nachman's opinion, then there's no opinion that says that that you can ever be machna to an uber in any way. An uber can be koina, fine, Rav Yossi, but to be machna to him, not. And therefore, that's it. Whereas Rav Nachman is saying, true, you can't be machna completely while it's an uber, but you can be machna provisionally so that it'll take effect when he's born. Then we have a third opinion. Rav Shesha says either way, actually, the unborn baby would be koyed. Regardless whether you're talking about that l'uber or l'shatelad, either way works. And Amr of Shesha, both cases, whether you said it while your wife was pregnant, and you're meaning for it to take effect while she's pregnant, or you said it while she's pregnant and are meaning for it to take effect after the baby is born. Either way, Rav Shesha says it does work. Not like we were saying before, but fine. Again, Rav Shesha is an Amarta. He's entitled to argue with Rav Huna, and I'm not sure
Amarta is against one.
We have three different opinions. And Amar Rav Shesha is menomala, and Rav Shesha says, where do I get this from? This idea that unlike what Rav Huna and Rav Nachman were saying, that an over, that you're able to be machna to an over, like this, the Tanya. It's based on the following bright. Ger shemes bizbizu yisrael mechosa. If a ger dies, and we've learned many times before, a ger is not considered, unless he married and has children, he doesn't have any heirs. because only his children can yaush in him. His birth family is not considered related to him anymore. If he had children after his gairus, that is, if he had children before his gairus and they were his gayer with him, that also wouldn't work. But whatever, the point is,
his children after his
gairus. But if he didn't have any, then is the chasim a plea for the take. Vizvizu Yisrael Machasav. So Yisraelim went and took as spoils all of his Nasasim, because it's all available, it's all Hector. The Shamush Yeshle Bena Shahita Ishtimu Beres. Then they found out that he has a son or that his wife is pregnant. Well, then they have to return everything. They have to return. Right. Yeah, they have to return everything they took because since his wife, now the wife herself is not going to yarsh, and we learned in the previous paragraph the husband yarshes from his wife, but not the other way around. But the baby, that's the point.
Sure, the
hold on. Actually, we have two parts of this price that we're going to see which one the proof is from. Yeah. Hechziru hakol. What if now they returned everything? Later on, they found out that the son died or that his wife miscarried. So now the people who come now the second time to make the chazaka on this property are not necessarily the same people who came the first time. Or even if they're the same people, they end up with different things. Hechzik b'shniya kana or v'rishayna le'kana. Then the din is whoever did the second time the chazaka. After the son or the uber died, now there's no more yerush. That second one is koyneh. The first group of people are not koyneh because the first group of people are not koyneh because it turned out that there was a son or an uber. So even if the uber died and was never even born, nevertheless, before he was born, he's already considered a yerush.
Now, the son died. Would the mother be able to inherit from the son?
No.
Wouldn't she have acquired it just by taking it back and saying, "Oh, this is mine now that I have a son," even though he died? Wouldn't she have acquired it? Or as soon as he dies, then it's Hefker one.
Then it's Hefker, yeah.
Even though it's in her house.
Yeah, I mean the fact that it's in her house doesn't give her any particular rights over it. And yeah. Later
but
on,
she could acquire it too.
Of course, she could acquire it just like any other yid. But
she could acquire the whole thing because she'll know first.
Well, there is that.
Dead,
yeah.
And she'll say,
yeah.
Okay, it's all acquired. Right
this
here.
Is true. I mean, we're actually as far as the uber, we're going to talk about him a little bit in the Gemara. In the case where the mother also passes away, then actually we're going to talk about a little further in the Gemara at the bottom of this almond and the top of the next one. Typically, the uber dies before the mother. In which case, you don't say he yarshins from his mother either, because he dies before while she's still alive, which is actually a topic that we're going to take up again towards the end of the paragraph. We're going to have a number of scenarios in the Mishnayos and the Gemara over there about various cases where two people who are relatives of their father and a son or a mother and a son or whatever, various cases where they die, let's say a house collapses and whatever, and you don't know which one died first.
Right.
So you have a question, how does the Yerusha go? So we'll get into that at the end of the paragraph. But yeah, okay. So you have two parts of this braisa. You have the first part that implies that once they found his no, they don't contradict each other. But you do have there's two different inferences that you could take from this braisa. From the first part, where you say that once you find out she's pregnant, everybody has to return the nechasim. That alone, on the face of it, could imply that an uber is able to yarshin the nechasim. The second part, where we say that once the uber dies, then everybody can go take a second chazaka. That again, that's a different way of implying that he's able to have it as long as he's alive. There is a good deal of discussion. I mean, our Gemara seems to be looking at the second inference. The fact that at the end we say that when they find out that the son has died or the wife miscarried, then the second group is able to do a chazaka and not the first one, implying in other words that because as long as the uber was alive, then he was the owner, then he was the rightful owner of it, and therefore they can't take it. So there is a good deal of discussion about the exact scenario over here. Are we talking about the girsa that we have in front of us in the Gemara over here is that v'achak shomush and mes b'noyah sheipila ishtay. Does that mean that they find out, in other words, that does that mean that on Sunday the people went and were mavazbas in a fasim, thinking that the heir is dead and he doesn't have any heirs. On Monday they found out he has an heir. On Tuesday that heir died, and the second group comes. Or do we mean on Tuesday they found out that the son had already died on Sunday, that the son or the uber had already died on Sunday, on the same day as the heir or whatever? Is it that now he dies and therefore a new situation is created, or are they finding out that what the existing situation was? Anyway, okay. So the point is, if you're going to tell me that an uber is not able to be koina any nechasim, lama lahu achazuki b'shnia? Why does the second group even need to make a chazaka anyway? They already made a chazaka before. So fine, the ger died, his wife was pregnant, but if you're going to tell me an uber is not koina, their chazaka on the nechasim the first time around is perfectly valid, because all you have is an uber is not koina. So that demonstrates, therefore, that an uber is able to be koine. He's considered a yerush. Therefore, that's what Rav Sheshet says. Therefore, by the same logic, you can be machne to an uber. Okay?
Didn't we say yesterday that being machne is being
koine? That's the answer. Amar Abaya, Yerusha, Abba Me'elea, Shain. Abaya says no, because there's a difference between a Yerusha that comes on its own. Where, for example, we said yesterday that Rav Yossi says that an uber is able to yarshin Yerusha that comes on its own, such as the Avodim or whatever, not that you can be machmet to him. Right. Here we're talking about whether the uber himself is yarshining the nechasim or not. So that's a whole different question than whether you are able to be machmet to him nechasim. And Rava gives a different reason that not necessarily is this braisa proof to Rav Sheshet's opinion, because shiny hotam jirafui mirakin miyadayu. It's different in that case, because the reason why we're saying that the original people who were machzik, why we said that they don't keep the chazaka, it ends up going to the second group. The reason is because by them themselves it was weak. By them themselves, they weren't sure. They couldn't be sure. Did he have yoshin? I mean, the first group. They went and were mavazas the nechasim. They went and then started taking all the nechasim. But they still knew in the back of their mind that after all there might actually be a yodish and we may have to return it. So they themselves didn't have such a firm smichus das that were getting all of this.
That's why
unless they make another chazaka after the son or the uber die, then you can't say their chazaka is that firm. In fact, the Magid Mishnah on Rambam actually discusses this a little bit and says a different meaning of it basically is that we have to say because of that, because they themselves didn't know what the situation is. They themselves couldn't be sure of the situation. It turns out that actually when they had to return it, when we had Hazidu, that they had to return it, it means they were completely... They were completely retracting on any chazaka that they made. We can't have made a chazaka because, after all, there is a ben or an uber. It turns out that our information was mistaken. And therefore, when the second group comes and makes a chazaka after they find out, even they find out the hatchila, the Magen Mishnah understands it, that they find out that the rumor was wrong. There was no son, there was no uber. They're already dead from before. Nevertheless, the first group of people already retracted their chazaka, and therefore it's freely available for the second group of people. If they hadn't retracted, then you could argue that maybe the first group is entitled to keep it, because now they find out, after all, that they only returned it on a mistaken premise, that there is a son or there is an open. But if we say like Rava is saying, Rafui Miraki and Miadayu, that they themselves had a very weak kind of chazaka on it in the first place, and when they returned it, they realized, you know what, we have to completely divest ourselves of it, because after all there was a baby or there was an uber out there, then that's it. We don't say afterwards they find out that was mistaken, then they're able to take it back necessarily. No, we say the fact is you completely divested yourself of it, so therefore nothing. So anyway, the point is you still don't have any proof from that an uber in and of itself is able to be yerush.
Be Yorish and to be able to
money
and to
create. That's no, for the Uber to be Yorish, all you have to do is be able to be kind. But we're discussing the question, Hamazaka la Uber. Are you able to be Mizaka Nechasim to an Uber? Are you able to say that these Nechasim will now belong to an Uber? And that's what we're saying so far. Rav Sheshet is saying that you can do that, fine, but then he's trying to prove from this Braisa. But Abaya and Rav are saying, for various reasons, you can't necessarily prove from this Braisa. So the question is, my Benayu. Okay, Abaya and Rava, are both agreeing that they're the first chazaka, the group, the chazaka of the first group that took the nechasim of the ger, doesn't count for anything. According to Abaye, it's because the Uber is able to be Yerush on his own, you just can't be machna to him. According to Rava, it's because Rafuya Miratia, because they themselves didn't have full smich of das to get it. What's the practical distinction between these two explanations? When it comes to the case of Gerush Mes, Bizbiz of Yisrael Nechasim, what's the difference? What would be the actual difference in Halacha whether we accepted Rava's explanation or Abaye? The answer is, the nakamina would be between them that if they heard that he had died, who's the he? The Rashbam gives two possibilities. Either it means that the Uber died, or it means that the Ger himself died. They heard that he died, the loy mes, but in fact he had not died. But then in the end he did die. So if you say, according to Abaye, that an Uber is able to be Yerush, then fine. So the first group of people, the first group of people who thought that the Uber is dead and really he's not, they're not able to be Masik, and the second group is. According to Rava, Rafuya Merafia, that they themselves don't have full smichas das to get it. No, because when they first heard that he died, they did mean to make a strong chazaka. Because after all, according to Rava, an Uber cannot yarishin at all. As far as they knew at the time, the Ger himself is dead, and that's it. Doesn't matter what the status of the Uber is, according to Rava. So therefore, you can't say it. So therefore, according to Rava, in a case like that, when they thought the Ger himself died, or that the Uber died, as the case may be, and then it turns out that not, according to Rava, the first group is in fact entitled to keep the Nechasim once they find out the truth that the Ger is dead or the Uber is dead. As opposed to Abaye, that not. According to Abaye, either way, the fact is, at the time when the first group did their chazaka, the Uber was alive, and Uber Yashin. At the time when the first group was maxed, the Uber was still alive, was still viable, and in the womb. An Uber is able to be Yerush, according to Abaye. So therefore, that's it. And the first group was doing the business of Yisrael Nechasa when it was invalid for them to do it, when there's still Yerush around. And therefore, their chazaka is no chazaka, and therefore only the second group gets it. So there's a nafkamina between Abaye and Rava's explanation.
The question is, don't you need more than a shmir? You need the proof that he's dead or not. How can you make a chazaka without a proof?
The ger is dead, yeah. They heard Shashamu, they heard that he was dead, and as far as they know, it's true. Fine, if it turns out that not, then they'll return it all. According to Rava,
they were at the funeral, started leaving from the back and running.
No, but whatever. The point is, Shamu Bar Shemet, it gives us strong enough reason to think that they might, provided that there are no other Yoshim, it gives us strong enough reason to think that they can actually start taking these Mechasim. If it turns out that not, fine, it's the same case as any other case where you think you're entitled to something and it turns out that not, you'll return it.
If a Yid dies.
If a Yid dies, yes, Yoshim.
You can hear that he passes away, you have a chazaka, that's why he's on his...
A regular Yid, you don't, because he has Yoshim. A regular born Yid, he has Yoshim.
He passed away, is that enough to have a chazaka? Don't they have to bring a proof that he passed away?
That's only now I'm interested.
No, I don't know about that necessarily. If you have no way of knowing at all what happened to him, we look back in Bava Metzia that they're not able to go take over the property. But if there's a shmua, yes, the same way as a shmia, yes, yeah. So you have a shmua that going around there. No, you don't necessarily need to. I mean,
going to inherit a house with that.
So you, and if it turns out that not, then you'll return the house. Not, you know. Okay. All right. So therefore, the point is we don't really have a proof to Rav Sheshet one way or the other from this bride. Okay. Tashma. Come, let's try to bring a proof from another, from a Mishnah, actually. A Mishnah in Nida says, Tinek ben yom echad noichel u'manchil. It says a baby, even who was born the same day, is able to yarshin u'manchil and is able to cause others to yarshin. Now, the Gemara asks over there the question, Bechoro, so what are we talking about, let's say? We're talking about, let's say, that Yaakov had a baby right before he died, and we're saying, so let's say, for example, he had sons already, Reuben, Shimon, and now he has a baby son, Levi, who was just born that day. We're saying Levi is able to be Noichel, and he's able to be Manchil. The question is, what do you mean Manchil? Whoever was able to Yarshim to Levi, on the face of it, would have been able to Yarshim directly from Yaakov. If you mean Manchil, that his own brothers can Yarshim if he dies, fine, they could have Yarshim directly from Yaakov also. What's the Manchil? But before we get to that though, the point is we're saying ben yom echad ein ubaloi. Fine, but we're saying that only if the baby is at least born that day, only if he's already born, implying but not if he's an uber. An uber can't yarshin. So that would go according to Rava. That would not go according to Rav Sheshis, who says that you can even be machmir to an uber. The answer is Ha'omer of Sheshes Noichel B'Nichsira Ein Mahanchel La'achin Menahem. No, because Rav Sheshes explains over there in the Gemara. Again, it can't just mean straightforwardly that it means that this baby is able to yarshin from his father and then cause the other his own heirs to inherit. You don't need him to be the go-between over there. And if Levi had never been born, Reuben and Shimon, his brothers, would be yarshining directly from their father anyway.
So what does it
mean? What does it mean? Rav Sheshes explains over there. It means Noichel B'Nichsira Ein Mahanchel La'achin Menahem. It means that as long as the baby was born, he's able to yarshin property from his mother in the sense that then manchil, that then he will cause it to pass over to his brothers from the father's side. Meaning, in other words,
after she passes away?
After, yeah. In other words, like this. Let's say, for example, so you have Rachel gives birth to Yosef. Then she dies. Yosef yarshins his mother because a baby who's already born is able to yarshin. Now, what happens? He has half-brothers, not from the same mother. He has brothers from the same father, but a different mother. The mother is the mother of these other brothers is Leah. Their common father is Yaakov. So, Rachel dies, and Yosef inherits her. Yosef then dies, and Reuben and Shimon inherit those nechasim, even though they originally came from Rachel, and Reuben and Shimon are not blood relations of Rachel at all.
That's when
we say Noichel U'manchil. What do you mean? And therefore, so that in that case, it's important to say that the baby is already born, because their attack makes a difference. Because if you say that the baby wasn't already born, then as the Gemara is going to say, since we generally assume that the baby died before that the unborn baby died before the mother, then it would be like we learned in the previous parak. It doesn't work the other way around. Let's take a case where he was already born. Let's say, for example, Yosef is born, grows up to maturity, then dies, then Rachel dies. We would not say in that case that Yosef is going to yarshin b'kever, that he's going to yarshin in the grave, hypothetically, from Rachel and then be manchil to his half-brothers. We wouldn't say that. Instead, we would say that Rachel's machasim instead go to her other yarshin, her other sons, if she has any, her brothers, her father, her uncles, etc., according to the regular Seder Yerusha that we learned from the previous parents. So that's why in our case over here, to say that this baby is Noichel Manchil, that this Yosef winds up transferring over the Nachla that he got from his mother Rachel, that he winds up transferring it to his half-brothers, Reuben and Shimon, for that he has to be born.
Which implies that a new brother doesn't.
No, which implies, as far as being Noichel, maybe he could, Rav Sheshes would say, but as far as being Noichel, maybe he could do that even in the womb. But to be manchil, that he needs to be born already, not because of the question whether an uber is able to be manchil, but because of a difference, because of a side issue. If he's an uber, then he'll have died before his mother. So let's see inside. But davka ben yom echad. All of this then only works if the baby was at least born that day. Aval uber loy. But if he's still an unborn baby, then such a thing would not work. Why? Because in that case, if a pregnant woman dies and if a pregnant woman dies, the baby is going to die first. The Gemara has an expression about it in Erchin, that in a different connection and involving a case over there where a pregnant woman is being executed by Beis Din. The Gemara discusses over there the idea of baby, the unborn baby has less chayus than the mother. So therefore, like the Malach HaMavet kind of gets to him first before the mother. And as we were just saying, a son does not yarshin from his mother once he's already dead, in the sense that then he'll be manchil to his half-brothers. He won't. In that case, the Yerusha will go back to her yarshin. It won't go through him at all, because he's already dead. So that's why
to be dead before the mother.
We assume that he's dead. But now, Tosfos explains specifically that is talking about a case where the mother died naturally. If the mother, Rahman al-Islam, did not die naturally, let's say she was killed, then not necessarily. Then actually the Gemara there in Erechin discusses it is entirely possible that the unborn baby should survive her. Well, should survive her. And then actually, and then the Sneh says in Shulchan Aruch, yes, if we know for sure that this, if we know for sure that this Uber actually did survive his mother. Then Taka, he would be able to be manchil to his brothers, even though he's still an ogre. Because the fact of the matter is, he was still alive. He was still alive in the womb when the mother died. So the question is, lememra du ma'is veracious. You're telling me that an unborn baby necessarily dies before the mother. But you have there was a case where a pregnant woman died. Upirkus plus a pirkusi, and the unborn baby, after the mother had died, moved around three times. So you see, lechora he was still alive. That's exactly the answer. Oma mabravashi needed to have as alata shemafaketus. No, it's no different than, for example, the tail of a lata, which is one of the shemayn shrotsim, a lizard or whatever it is, which can still move around. It still has nerves in it. Still make it move around after it's cut off from the body when it's truly no longer alive, the same way over here. The baby can be moving around convulsively, doesn't mean that it's actually alive anymore. Okay, so therefore no proof. All right. So that's one explanation of that Mishnah in Nidah. When you say Tinek ben Echad Noichel Manchil, we don't mean to say that he couldn't Yarshin while he's in the womb. We just mean to be Manchil to his brothers that while he's in the womb that night. Again, like the Sneh says, unless we know for sure that he actually outlived his mother, which in the normal case is not like that. Ma'abreder of Yosef Mishmeder Rav Amar. Ma'abreder of Yosef says in the name of Rava, I can give another explanation. Yes, you could have that. You could explain that an Uber actually is able to be Yodish, but there's a different reason why the Mishnah over there is mentioning Tinik ben Yomahud. Which, by the way, the Rashbam points out. I mean, we said on Amud Aleph, Rava himself said that we're saying that an Uber is not Yerush in connection with the case of Gerush and Master Bizvah Yisrael Makabah. But that was in the course of argument. We're saying over here that we can't prove one way or the other. But so before, Rava was saying you can't necessarily prove from that Brisa that an Uber is Yerush, because you could understand that he's not Yerush, and still that din would work. Over here, for our purposes, we could say the Mishnah may mean that an Uber is Yerush. You don't have a proof one way or the other. So just in the course of the discussion, you can go either, for argument's sake, you can go either way. So what does it mean? Loimar, the point of that Mishnah in Nidah, when it says, Tinuk ben yom echad noichol manchil, doesn't mean to say that an Uber can't yashin. It would just mean, Loimar shememayet b'chelek b'chorah. It means that only once the baby is born does he reduce the amount that the b'chor gets. Meaning like this, the Rashbam says, let's take a scenario as follows. Let's say when Yaakov dies, he leaves two sons, Reuben and Shimon. Now, if that's all there were, then fine. Reuben the Bechor gets, if he left over 12 money, let's say, then fine. Reuben the Bechor gets 8, Shimon the Pashut gets 4, and that's that. Now, what if there were three children? What if Levi was born before Yaakov died? Then you're going to divide into four portions. Reuben will get 6, and Shimon and Levi will get 3 each. What we're saying, the wrinkle we're saying, Chinik ben Yemecha, Neuchel de Manchil, we're saying only once he's born does that happen. But if he wasn't born yet, when Yaakov died, then we're going to calculate differently. Then he does not take away any of the Chelik Bechorah. In other words, for purposes of the Bechorah, we consider that there are only two children. For purposes of calculating what's the Chelik Bechorah, we consider that there are only two children, Reuben, only two sons, Reuben and Shimon. So the Chelik Bechorah for Reuben is 4. Then we have the remaining 8. The remaining 8, that we need to divide evenly among the 3 children, 2 who were born when Yaakov was alive, and the 1 who was born after he died. And then we say, therefore, so each one of them gets 2 2/3 out of that. So Reuben winds up with 4 + 2 2/3, so 6 2/3. Each of the other ones ends up with 2 2/3. If then Levi dies, then Reuben and Shimon split up evenly what he inherited, the 2 2/3 that he inherited. Each of them gets what would it be? Each of them gets what is it? 1 1/3. 1 1/3 of his, and then they're back to what they would have been before if Levi hadn't been born. That's what we mean. Shemamayat b'chelik b'chorah. Only once a baby is born does he reduce the amount that goes to the b'chorah. Of his chelik b'chorah. Where in this scenario, in other words, it would be 3 instead of 4. The Dafka ben Yemechad. So that's the point of that Mishnah. Only if he's at least born that same day before the father died. But if he was still a fetus, if he was still unborn when the father died, then we would not say that. My time. Now, why is that? Because the Pasuk says that when the Pasuk discusses the concept of a Bechor getting the Chelik Bechorah, the expression the Torah uses is V'yoduloi Bonim, that is, his wives give birth to him. So the implication is that we're talking about the children who were actually born while the father was alive. The children who were not born while the father was alive, sure, they get a Yerusha, but we don't count them when it comes to calculating what the portion of the Bechor is.
Are they considered the third?
No, they're the original child was born long before. Bahaleka, and in this case, you don't have it. The Surah Masnuhachi, that's how they learned this particular statement in Surah. But Kumbadissa Masnuhachi, and Kumbadissa, they had a different version of what Ma'abrit of Yosef said in the name of Rabbah. Omer Ma Breder of Yosef Meshmeder Rava. That the second version is Ma Breder of Yosef says in the name of Rava. Bechor Shenoyla La'acham Misas Aviv. If a Bechor is born after the father dies, now how could that be? How there are other children after him if he's the Bechor? So the Rashbam says either it's talking about twins. So the first Reuben is born and then the twin Shimon is born, but Reuben is still the Bechor. Or you could have the Yaakov had many wives. So the first Leah gave birth to Reuben. Then the next day or the next week or whatever, Rachel gave birth to Yosef. Fine, but they both became pregnant while he was alive, but they're still, yeah. Anyway, so a Bechor that's born after the father died ain't a Noto Pishnayim, does not get a double portion. My time, why is that? Yakir, Omer Achmona, the whole lesson to Yakir. Because the Torah says, Yakir, that the father has to, the Yakir literally means he should recognize. So it has to be that Yakir, it has to be the father is able, would have been able to recognize him, and he cannot, he's dead of it. Now, the Rashbam says, I mean, even let's say, for example, okay, let's say the father never actually saw him. Let's say the father was overseas when the baby was born or whatever. Doesn't matter. There was at least the capability, the capability existed that he could have seen him and recognized him.
There has to be potential.
There has to be potential. This is a general concept that we have throughout Shas, that we've mentioned it before, called a royal bila. As long as something is able to be done in potential, then as far as halacha is concerned, that's good enough. Some of the Rishonim talk about, by the way, that according to this, when we learn it from the word yakir, instead of learning it from the word b'yodoloi, what it would mean is that Tosfos, in fact, asks the question, why don't we just learn it from v'yolduloi? You have the Pasuk says that the Pasuk says in that connection of the Bechor, v'yolduloi, they were born to him. One of the ones born is the Bechor. Why don't we say the same thing? One of the interesting answers that some of the Rishonim give is, what if the baby was born when the father was a goyis? If you learn it from v'yolduloi, fine, the baby was born while the father was alive. He could be considered a Bechor and get a double portion. But since we're saying you learn it from Yakir, it has to be, again, like the Rashbam is saying, there was at least the capability that the father could recognize him, and a goitis is already unconscious. There's no possibility of him ever recognizing the baby, and therefore, that's the point of learning from Yakir, is that it doesn't matter whether he was born after the father died or whether he was born even while the father was a goitis. Really, Goethe's in Lamissa, the Gemara says. Most Goethe's in end up dying. Unlike Shivra, where really Chulim, rather. Most Chulim, the Gemara says, recover, but most Goethe's in do not. The Gemara says, V'hilchsa kochol hani lishni. Now, actually, even though we're saying there was one version in Surah and the other version in Pumbedissa, they're not actually arguing. The halacha is actually like both of these lashonis. The halacha is like both of those lashonis that Ma'abredir of Yosef says in the name of Rabbah. It is true that a poshut who was born after the father died is not Mamayat b'chelet b'chorah. Again, when we calculate b'chelet b'chorah, we ignore him. It is also true that if the b'chorah himself was born la'acha mitzvah, then he doesn't get a double portion. Both of those halachas are true. All right, going back now to the topic, to the main topic of our sugya, which was going to be, can you be mezakeh to an uber or not? So again, so far we had Rav Huna saying, no, not at all. Rav Nachman saying, yes, but only if you're saying that it should take effect after he's born. Rav Sheshet saying, yes, regardless. And that got us into this whole side discussion about that. Now getting back to the topic, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yechanan, hamezakeh l'uber l'kanah. Rabbi Yitzchak says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, similar to what Rav Huna said. You mezakeh to an unborn baby, he's not koneh. V'im toima mishnah seinu. Now, what are you going to do with our mishnah? So Rav Huna said, never mind our mishnah. I can't understand what Tana is like. I can't understand the basis behind it, and therefore we can't accept it. Rabbi Yechanan says, no. Our mishnah is a special case. Because a person's mind is close to his son. In other words, therefore, the Rashbam says that it means, therefore, he's machne with his whole heart. He's machne wholeheartedly. To be machne to another, to an uber of somebody else, that not. But to be machne to your own uber, to your own unborn baby, that yes. There's a couple of other approaches that the Rishonim take, why it works. Why Daitish Aladim Kroyve Etzobnoi makes it work. One of them is also why are we saying you can't be Machna to somebody who's Loy Boloy? Because you don't really have a Smith of Das on it. But you have a Smith of Das because it's your son. So therefore, so such a thing can work. More on this topic. Amalei Shmuel In this special case, therefore, the guy is saying, whatever, when my wife is, the baby that my wife is carrying, I want to give a mona or 200 zuz to, because it's his own baby, died to shalom, that works. But if you were to say, for example, whatever your wife is carrying, if it's a boy, he'll get 100 and a girl 200, that wouldn't work.
But no,
I mean, there's child. Yeah, I mean, both boys and girls, yeah. Just there's child. Amalei Rav Shmuel Rav Chana Bagatar. So Shmuel says to Rav Chana Bagatar. Bagatar, the Rashbam says, means Baghdad. Puk Aisili Beyasara. Go out, bring me 10 people, because I want to publicize the following halacha. Be'emalach ba'apayu, and I will tell them in your presence, Hamazaka ba'uber kono, that if you're mazaka to an uber, it is kono. Like Rav Sheshet, not like the various other Amoraim. However, the halacha is that if you're mezakeh to an uber, that he's not koine, with the exception of no that we just said. So there are still a number of loose ends here. Tosfos brings up one of them. What about though? Fine. So we said that you can't be mezakeh to an uber, but is an uber able to yarshin on his own? We had Rabbi Yossi's opinion before saying he can, for example. So that Tosfos says that yes, that actually could work. So just for example, the case that we had before, where first of all, we had the case yesterday involving the Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen, where her husband dies, she's pregnant, where we said that the Uber has a certain ownership over the Avadim, and therefore, since until he's born, he's considered a Zara, therefore they can't eat Truma. So that's an example of it. But a more general example, I mean, you would have, for example, the case of the Ger Shemesh, for example, if his wife's pregnant, can anybody start taking his Nechasim? Any case where a woman is pregnant, can Uber be Yerush? So Tosfos says that yes, as a matter of fact, that yes, we can't be machne to an Uber, but an Uber is able to be koina, something that's Yerusha Abal Meva, something that comes to him automatically. There's a couple of other loose ends that the Gemara hasn't really resolved over here in this whole discussion, such as, for example, again, we had the various reasons why the first group of people who took the Nichse Ager after returning them, but we didn't really establish what whose understanding of it do we follow? Abaya the Rabbah. On to a somewhat new topic. There was a case where a man said to his wife, my nechasim should go to the children that I will have with you. Now, here we're not even talking about I forgot to mention one other thing, by the way. If we say that, even if we say that an uber is able to be yerush, which is taka the halacha, at what point do we say that the baby is considered an uber for that purpose? Is it as soon as the mother becomes pregnant? Is it maybe only after 40 days? Because for many purposes in halacha, we say a fetus less than 40 days old is not even considered. Never mind viable. It's not viable after 40 days either. A baby has to be like 5-6 months. Before 40 days is considered for many purposes in halacha, it's not even considered a baby for a number of purposes in halacha. So maybe that, or maybe it has to be a huk or umra. Maybe it has to be that she's visibly pregnant. Which is, in other Gemaras, we've said that means 3 months. Okay, so you have a machlokes, we're showing you. That's the thing. Before 40 days, there is more justification in halacha for an abortion, if necessary, because the baby is maya b'alma. It's considered just water. It's not considered just mother. What? Yeah. The health of the mother, that you can do even later with the pregnancy. Those are the major ones, but you have an easier time of it before 40 days. But that's not the only one. There's also, for example, a woman miscarries within 40 days, her next baby will be considered a bechor, whereas if it was after 40 days and not. There's a number of areas in halacha where there's a difference between before 40 and after 40. So is it bad? Is it maybe only once she's visibly pregnant, like usually at 3 months? Is it right away? That's another one. Okay. Anyway, new case. Hahuda amal advait. So there was a guy who told his wife, nichsi lebni diyevu liminich. My nechasim should go to the children that I will have with you. Now, in this case, she's not even pregnant yet. So even if we say hamazaka over tana, there's no question in this case it doesn't work. You can't say that your das is kodav to your hypothetical children that she may yet become pregnant. So the wrinkle here is something else. Asa break shisha. This guy's older son, he had an older son from a previous marriage, came to him, and Omalei, he says, Ahu gavram atavi alei. So what's going to be with that person, meaning me? You're planning to give all your nechasim to the children from your second wife, and I'm going to be left out in the cold? Omalei, so the father tells him, Zil kniti chad mibara. Fine, I want you to be koina, a portion equal to any of the children that will be born to her. Meaning, in other words, the question is like this thing. Hanach vader lekona. There's no question that unborn or unconceived children are not koina dakati lesnu because they don't even exist yet. The question is, hi, what about this older son? Is cholak l'talya b'mkayim b'naya? Do we say that the young man, meaning this older child, who's older than any hypothetical children that are in the future going to be born, does he have a portion among the sons? Or does he not have a portion? In other words, would we say when he says, "I want you to be koina," equal to any of them? Well, since none of them are koina, does that mean he's also not koina, or does it mean that he'd get a portion equal to what any of them would eventually get? Meaning, in other words, we would say, for example, in the end, when the father dies, eventually at that point, let's say he has three sons with his new wife. So then we would take one quarter of them. So then we have him, and we have three younger children. We would take the nechasim, divide it into four, and say that the matana that his father was saying equals one quarter of the nechasim. So that goes to him outright, and then the other three quarters of the nechasim would be divided evenly among the four of them. Do we say that, or do we not say that? Is cholak v'talya v'mkayim v'naya? Do we? What? Well, you take a double portion because it's bechor, right? Okay, so let's say for whatever reason he's not bechor. So to keep things simple, but yeah, obviously if it was bechor, that's another. No, because you were talking about a matana. You were not talking about Yerusha. Yerusha, there's no question. Eventually they're all going to get Yerusha. The question is, he's saying zil kni kichad mi bara. He's saying I want you to be kona a matana equal to a portion that would go to any of the other children. Yerusha is eventually going to be Yerusha. But the question is, does he have a matana? So in this, that's the point. Do we just say that eventually when the father dies and he had, let's say, three children with his new wife, so we just divide the nechassim into four, or five really, because he's a bechor, fine, and he gets two of those portions and everybody else gets one, and that's that. Or do we say we separate out a portion for his matana, which will be one quarter of the total amount of the nechassim, and then the remaining three quarters are going to be divided according to the usual rules of Yerusha. So, Rav Ovin, Rav Miyasha, Rav Yirmi Adamri, Ischol, Natalia, Rav Krem Benaya. So, Rav Ovin and Rav Miyasha and Rav Yirmi say, yes, the young man that does have a chelek in the place of the children. In other words, yes, he does get that matana. Plus, of course, he gets his regular portion of the Yerusha. Rav Abov, Rav Chanin, Rav Papi, Rav Yitzchak, Nachadamri, less cholak, Latalia, Rav Chaim Benaya. Whereas the next three Amiroim, Rav Abov, Rav Chanin, Rav Papi, and Rav Yitzchak, Nachadamri, say that he does not have a portion equal to the other children. Since none of the other children can be entitled to a matana at this point, then neither is he. Because the father equated them. He said, you should get a matana like any of them. Yeah. Amalei Rav Abov, that's the question. In other words, then it would mean that nothing. Then it would mean like nothing. We'll do two more lines, but then we'll do a couple more lines, and then call it a day. But we'll continue tomorrow. The Gemara will continue tomorrow with what the logic behind it is. So Amalei Rav Abov Rav Yirmiyah, Hilchos HaKavasana, Hilchos HaKavasaychus. What's the bottom line? Is the halacha like our group, the second group, that he's not kohen, or is the halacha like your group that he is? Amalei, so Rav Yirmiyah said, given that we don't necessarily have a logical reason to say one way or the other. Well, obviously, then, if you don't have any other good reason, the halacha, other things being equal, the halacha must be like us, because we're older than you. So therefore, if you don't have a good, solid reason for your shita, then you have to go according to age. The halacha can't be like you, because you're young people. Amalei, so Rav Abov tells him, "Midibkashishus, Talia Milta." What? It doesn't go by age necessarily. The time of Talia Milta, it goes according to the logic. If we can find a more logical reason for our svara than you, then halacha should be like you. So that's the thing. Usually, of course, you don't just pass the halacha according to seniority or whatever. Usually you have a reason to pass the halacha one way or the other. In a case like this, where on the face of it, neither one seems to be more logical than the other, then you can break the tie. Then you can break the tie by seniority or by time. And then Rav Abov was explaining that we have a good time for our din that he should not be tied. And the reason for that time we'll deal with tomorrow. Yeah.